Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. I'm so glad you joined me. You can get me on 670 KLTT at 9 o'clock at night, 2:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, and then go over to the sister station that's KLDC, that's 1220 on your dial, at 11 o'clock in the morning. And those are the times that Call to Freedom are on the air. Also, you can go to freedomstreet.org and click on the radio shows under resources. So I hope that you can join me every day. When you don't get to join me, you can go to freedomstreet.org and the radio shows are there. It's just really easy to click on and listen to a show for half an hour wherever you are, night or day. And it's just a great way of listening to the Word of God and getting caught up on what God's plans are. Oh, it's amazing how God is working in these days. In these last days, there's frequency of events and intensity, and I know that you're feeling that too. Also, you can donate online at freedomstreet.org. Just hit that little donate button and you can give as much as you have received from Call to Freedom. Oh, Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Do not be concerned or troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Wow, I messed that one up. But you know that Jesus gives us peace. Peace beyond all of our understanding. Oh, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not the peace that the world gives you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I pray that you will learn that verse so that when you get into turmoil, when your head gets spinning around and around and you can't even think straight, you're going to think of John 14, verse 27. Oh, God bless you. And let's do our Bible slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. It is the Word of God. That's where your power button is, friend. It is in the Word of God. He gives you the strength with His explosive power to be infused with all kinds of grace and truth and love and peace and patience towards your fellow man when things don't work out. So I want you to know that you can always go to the Word of God for wonderful comfort and assurance. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. Saturday at our meeting, we had a wonderful meeting. We always do. It's just full of vivation and enjoyment and energy, and it's just beautiful. And I hope some month you can come and join us. It's just a really good experience. But Saturday, a person who attended our fellowship mentioned all the fees and taxes that she had to pay to renew her vehicle license. I'm going to go a little bit into Colorado because I've lived here most of my life. I lived in Idaho for just 3 years and then back in Colorado. Went to school in California, but then back to Colorado. And I want to let you know that in Colorado, it has changed from a very conservative state in the 50s and 60s into even the 70s and 80s to a blue state. And I'm saddened by that, of all the liberal things going on, the policies that are keeping people from growing. And as I looked at this, and I did, I went online and I looked at what is the reality of Colorado right now. And we can hope and we can pray, but I like reality, folks. I really do. And so she was mentioning this, who attended the meeting Saturday, she was mentioning that there was so many fees and taxes. And we see that on our utility bills and everything else that we get from the government, city government or federal government. We see a lot of fees and taxes tacked on. And they don't look like a lot, 10 cents here, 25 cents there. But when it adds up to maybe $10 or $15 each time you pay a bill, it is a whole lot. And even $10 or $15 on top of what we already pay with utilities and property taxes, it becomes a heavy burden. I noticed that businesses are leaving Colorado, just like they're leaving California and other blue states. Maybe not in the droves that it's happening in California, but folks, it's happening. Colorado's population growth has slowed to its lowest rate since 1989, with an annual increase of only 0.4% in 2025, slower than the national average of 0.5%. That's the national average. The state now has about 6 million residents, but it is losing people to other states for the first time in decades. People used to come to Colorado for its beauty and also for its economic opportunities. Not anymore. A net outflow in 2025 was 12,000 residents. They left. And this is a sharp reversal from the 2010s, when the state gained up to 56,000 people annually from people coming from other states. This is domestic migration, not international. So we know that it has truly dropped. And key drivers of the slowdown include high housing costs and overcrowding in some areas, high costs of doing business, including regulatory burdens. Now, that regulatory burden means fees and taxes, okay? We're talking about fees and taxes that are tacked back on your bills. Number two is the job market shifts, with some residents leaving for better paying opportunities elsewhere. Low confidence in long-term economic prospects. And three, declining arrivals from other blue states and added competition from states offering better incentives and lower costs. I know that Elon Musk has taken many of his businesses to Texas. Many businesses are going into Florida, where there's no state tax. So we know a lot of people are thinking, I got to get out of this. If I'm taking all my savings and spending it on all my bills, this is not going to last very long. It's true. It's true, folks. So stay with me here just for a few more minutes. The population decline is mirrored by business losses. The Common Sense Institute reports that in 2024, Colorado ranked 48th out of 50 states for new business starts. 48 out of 50, folks. Retail businesses, loss of 4,000 retail businesses and restaurants closing. You can see it if you go downtown or if you go to these suburbs. You'll see placards and things that are closed, a closure rate worse than most states. The Colorado Chamber of Commerce says 98 companies have left, expanded elsewhere, or abandoned plans since 2019, resulting in over 13,000 lost jobs. Since 2022, the state has also lost 34 public company headquarters. That means they left, they moved their whole company away from the state. Hundreds of business leaders have urged state leaders to act, calling for a bipartisan 20-year strategy to boost Colorado's competitiveness, especially in technology and innovation. Governor Jared Polis has pledged to review state regulations every 5 years, and citing duplicative rules as a drag on business growth. Who's made these rules? Who's having committee meetings and making up these rules and regulations? It's the left. It's the Democrats. It's Jared Polis. The Democrat majority in the Colorado legislature is doing this. And what has Jared Polis done? He's gone after legitimate businesses that have boosted the economy. Businesses like, and I'm talking small businesses, but they add to the economy of Colorado. Businesses like Masterpiece Bake Shop and Precious Jack Phillips, who just wants to bake and decorate cakes. He's got a book out. The cost of, I forget the exact number, the cost of the faith, the cost of my faith. And it has really been a great seller, and I appreciate if you would get a book by Jack Phillips. He is so precious, and when I had my 80th birthday last year, he baked a cake for me. It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Jack. And when Jared Polis and the left sued Jack Phillips in 2012, discrimination, he lost 40% of his business. Now, most business owners would leave. They would either close up, leave, or go somewhere else. And Jack, being the gentle and kind man that he is, I would not have blamed him. But he stayed, and his legal team took this discrimination lawsuit to the Supreme Court. And they won. They won. But this didn't deter the left in Colorado. They continue to harass this man. They aren't in the business of making Colorado a state to enjoy and have a successful life. They want to make it near impossible for the conservatives and the loyal Americans to succeed. And that's not only this state, friend. It's other blue states there. Colorado is almost surrounded by red states. Praise God, there are common sense people in the United States with legislators and legislations that are conservative in nature and want to keep the documents that our forefathers fought for in absolute success. And the only verse I can think of after talking about Jared Polis, the only verse I can think of is John 10:10. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've lived in Colorado most of my life, and it used to be a pleasure to tell people that I was from Colorado. But it isn't that way anymore. In the current trends, if the current trends continue, population loss, declining domestic migration, and business departures, Colorado risks a vicious cycle, fewer workers and fewer new businesses, which could further erode economic momentum. And policymakers are now focusing on cost reduction, regulatory reform. Do you know what regulatory reform means? It's a nice term for trying to figure out how to raise more taxes for the middle class. That's us. Yes, it is. And attracting talent to reverse the decline. Colorado, do you know, want to know where our economic budget is? We are $1 billion in debt. $1 billion. That's one state. $1 billion in debt. As you're listening, you can change this by voting for candidates that are not backed by the left-wing agenda. Be smart and look into candidates that are conservative and want to cut taxes, not raise more taxes. Colorado is facing a dual challenge: shrinking population and shrinking business base, both of which could have a long-term impact on its economy and quality of life. Folks, if it doesn't change, Colorado is no longer going to be an attraction for more people to come. And so much is due to that party in charge. I'm going to be talking more about this in a few minutes. I wanted to give you a verse of scripture for this week that I'm going to be talking about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's just, I'm excited about it. I truly am. And our verse is from 2 Thessalonians 3:3. I so enjoyed working and reading and studying through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I know it's not the favorite books of people who are reading the Bible, but oh, it's just chock full of promise and absolutely excitement about the days that are coming ahead. And here's 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Praise God. And in the Passion, 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, finally, dear brothers and sisters, pray for us that the Lord's message will continue to spread rapidly and its glory be recognized everywhere, just as it was with you. And pray that God will rescue us from wicked and evil people, for not everyone believes the message. But the Lord Yahweh is always faithful to place you on a firm foundation and guard you from the evil one. Yes, he will. If you are in Jesus Christ, he will guard you from the evil one. So I want to tell you about taking action here as believers. I want to make you believe and see that you believe that you just don't sit on your duff sit about, you know, in your pew on Sundays and then come home and then watch television and you've done enough for the Lord. No, we've got to take action. And we begin making changes in our own lives. Scripture tells us, for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Now that's 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10. And I want to remind you that James 4 verse 9 tells us to get serious about life, even to the point of weeping over our situations. Yes. And stop trying to get something for nothing. Everybody is here for a good deal. I gotta either bargain people down at the retail counter, or I need to do something to get less. We can't do that anymore. We've got to trust God to be our provider and not the government. I really believe that with all my heart. So let's get serious about things. Let's take action. And Saturday, as I read 1 Corinthians 2:14, I wanted to tell people then what the spiritual man was like and what the earthly or natural man is like. So here in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of Holy Spirit. Those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things. That's what I'm praying for you, that you will evaluate all things, you will investigate, you will question, you will examine, and you will inquire into and discern all things, because they are not subject to the world. That scrutiny is subject to God. God's the only one that will judge. Praise the Lord. For he who has ever known enough to become God's, you know, who has ever known enough to become God's counselor and teacher? Who has ever been smart enough? As smart as the smartest men on this earth are, they're not smart enough to know what God is doing and what he's going to do. And for second of all, you see, and we see ourselves as we really are, producing two vital spiritual qualities in our lives, gentleness and humility. We have an accurate and honest assessment of ourselves that in turn affects how we approach others. This contradicts the world's way of thinking, which advocates standing up for your rights and asserting yourself in order to get what you deserve. Jesus was meek and mild. That does not mean weak. In Matthew 11:28, he asks us and encourages us to yoke up with him. He is a gentle Savior. He is a wonderful Savior. He does not exhibit cowardice in any way. And the more we humble ourselves and admit our weaknesses, the more we can rely on God's grace and the happier we will be with ourselves and others. And this does not mean that we neglect what's going on around us. We have every opportunity to look at what we're paying in taxes and fees and try to do something about it. I realize that these things that are happening in our country today are signs of Jesus' return. World knowledge is exploding, especially with the introduction of AI. I don't want Copilot and AI to help me write my opinions and my articles. I want those articles to come from Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit alone. And we must realize that what the Bible says about the end times is true, and it's coming at an alarming rate. I want to tell you, one of the scriptures that I read this weekend is in Daniel, hundreds of years before what we see here today. And God told Daniel here in Daniel 12, great verse, great passage of scripture. He says, "Now at the end time, Michael, the great angelic prince who stands guard over Israel, will arise." He's guarding Israel right now. And you can sense that. Israel is just so tiny. It's not even as big as New Jersey. And God is guarding that through Michael, the archangel. And I hope you're in encompassing and talking about your angel. Each one of us has an angel who is guarding over each one of us. We are. In Matthew 18:10, each one of us has an angel who looks before, who comes and embraces the throne room every day. So I want you to be able to ask God to Tell your angel to guard you, protect you, look for your keys when you lose them, do all kinds of things, and he will. He does. He has in my case. Oh, praise God. And there will be a time of distress. Here is Daniel 12. Such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. But at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book of life, will be rescued. That's us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. That means they have died. They will be resurrected. Now, this is before Paul talked about it in 2 Thessalonians. And so I want to be able to just introduce this book of Daniel to you before we go into 1 and 2 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians 15. So everyone who is found written in the book of life will be rescued. You're not going through the tribulation. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, be resurrected, those to everlasting life, but some to disgrace and everlasting contempt and punishment. And that's written about judgment in John 5 verse 29. We will go to a resurrection of life. Those who have committed evil and wicked and have not turned from their ways will experience a judgment of punishment. And verse 3 in Daniel 12 says, those who are spiritually wise will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead many to righteousness, that means we bring the message of truth to our friends and our loved ones, even strangers sometimes, will shine like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, see, this is God speaking to Daniel. Conceal these words and seal up the scroll until the end time. Many will go back and forth, to and fro, and look anxiously here and there for more and more knowledge. I got to learn more. I got to go to Facebook and learn this. I got to go to Instagram and learn this. Oh, our knowledge, friend, should come from God. And even those in the world that are searching for knowledge and for truth, they're actually searching for God, and they don't realize that. They're neglecting God. They're ignoring God. But inside, there is a God-shaped vacuum, and they are looking for God, thirsting for the Word of God, and trying to find it in other philosophies, in other places in this world. But they will not find it. And that's in Amos 8:12. They will not find it until they look to Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Praise God. So we know that the end is just around the corner. Are you ready to see Jesus? Or does that cause a feeling of being uncomfortable, of anxiety? Does that cause you any kind of anxiety when you think of Jesus returning soon? I hope not, because all you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have never looked to you as Savior and Lord. But now I'm asking you to come into my heart, change my heart, make it new, give me a fresh start. I acknowledge you as Savior and Lord of my life. That's it. And you are born again. Born again. Look up Romans 10, 9, and 10. If you have a Bible, Romans is in the New Testament. Look up Romans 10, 9, and 10. You're born again. You're saved. That passage that I just read from Daniel, it sounds like it came from the New Covenant, the New Testament. But it was many years before Paul spoke it in here in 1 Thessalonians 4. We're going to go from Daniel, which is a great book, to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And I just want to say, I am doing a chronological study, as I have done now for 50 years, a chronological study in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. And I encourage you, and I want you to acknowledge that you need to read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, not just skipping around, but doing the whole thing, the whole Word of God. It makes it so concise and brings together with more clarity the thoughts. So I encourage you to get a Word Power for every hour. You can call me after the program at that number, 1-877-917-7256, or you can go to freedomstreet.org and download the Bible Guide, and that is Word Power for Every Hour. It's a precious little Bible guide that Marilyn Hickey had introduced to me a long, long time ago in the 70s, and it has been an absolute blessing for me. So I hope it is for you if you download or if you ask for that. Again, you can call me at 1-877-917-7256. God bless you. Here is 1 Thessalonians 4:13, and we won't get through it on this program, but tomorrow we will get more. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know that what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. Yeah, they're going to be the first to come out of their graves. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. That's 1 Thessalonians 4. And here in verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel," and it might be Gabriel, or it might be Michael, the archangel of Israel, "and with a trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves." Oh, that's going to be an absolute amazing event. "And then up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we will be with the Lord forever." So encourage each other with these words. That's very clear, isn't it? Those who have died, those who you have gone to the cemetery and you have put flowers on the graves, they're going to come out of the graves, those who have known the Lord Jesus and given to him their heart and their spirit, their soul in their lives. They're going to come out of their graves with brand new bodies. I'm going to be reading that in 1 Corinthians 15 tomorrow. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, tomorrow on the broadcast. I want you to know that it's an exciting event that will come soon, and looking forward to it is the greatest event that you could ever hope for. It is, really, the greatest event in history, and so shall the end come, and we will be with the Lord Jesus, our Savior and Lord. I'm looking so forward to it, and I hope you are too. God bless you and keep you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.